Okay, everyone, it is me, Shay, here with Big Orange Questions, and today I have a special guest. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Tamara Houston. I am in South Carolina. I'm a clinical social worker in the area and owner or CEO of Renewal Life Counseling and Houston Consulting here.
Okay, good to know these things. Now, what kind of services do you provide?
Okay, so with Houston Consulting, that is primarily a business that's focused on women-owned practitioners or clinicians, therapists, counselors, and they are either in startup or interested in expanding. So basically, I'm just working with them in developing their businesses or looking at their current business plan and help in assisting them in figuring out the areas that they need to work on so that they can expand and do so that they don't have to go back and backtrack, basically. So that's a newer business, actually. It's a baby. And so I'm really excited about that because I love working with women. Renewal Life Counseling is a mental health group practice. And so we are a generalist practice, which we cover a lot of different issues. We work with children and adults and in different modalities. So we see individuals, we provide couples counseling, family counseling as well, and we also provide some groups as well. My particular specialties are in grief and bereavement, anxiety, and trauma work. So those are the areas I'm particularly passionate about. But like I said, we deal with a lot of different issues, and especially now with everything that's going on. So
awesome, like with everything that's going on with the COVID-19 and the quarantining and just being, you know, social distancing, what does that look like right now in your profession? Are you getting more of people that's with anxiety? Are you getting more people who are taking this opportunity to use your services to create a new business opportunity for themselves? Mm-hmm. What does it look like right now for your company as a business owner who helps consult other people?
It's a little bit of both, actually. This year, I really focused on talks about self-care and wellness. And it seemed like it was just kind of divine intervention that all of this has came up now. That I have found is there's been a lot of talk about pivot and what that looks like. And from a business standpoint, I do a lot of talks with like organizational leadership. So when we talk about pivoting in business, we're normally looking at that process and there's a planning, you know, time. So in order for you to pivot effectively, you need to have an opportunity to kind of look at the landscape of your business and what you got going on, resources, stakeholders, and that type of thing, really kind of develop what your niche is going to be. Well, of course, now, like, nobody asked COVID to come on the scene, but it's here. So, you know, folks really don't have as much opportunity, I think, or just anticipated these things to happen the way they have. So, and more so, people are really interested in looking at how they can take perhaps like their current business and redirect it in a way that they're able to provide service, but perhaps have to do so virtually. So the same thing that happened with my business, we're primarily face-to-face, or we're primarily face-to-face. And so we, you know, kind of quickly had to pivot to doing more virtual sessions. And in doing so, you have to take into account insurance, getting clients who may be a little resistant to that process of doing virtual sessions, like working with them to decrease some of that anxiety. So I think people across the board are kind of dealing with some of those same things. So you have people that have already established businesses trying to figure out how to get that more virtual scene. And then, of course, depending on what your frame of mind is and what else you got going on, this may be a good opportunity to kind of look at if you were interested in starting a business or kind of taking your hobby to something that could bring in residual income, how are you able to do that? So I think there's been a little bit of both on my end, particularly with clinicians that I work with that are interested in figuring out a different way to still serve their client base. So it's a mix. It's been a good mix.
What I like about the what I favor about your business and you as a businesswoman is I love how you are helping people pivot things that they need to have to be successful in their business. And the way that you're doing it and the way that you are just open, you're very versatile at what you do. And I love it because you stand as an symbol of you have that go-getter capacity about you in a way that other people are not able to, even mentor coaches are not able to have. Some of them stick with just one, stay in one lane. You're like, I have the whole highway, okay? And if you can stay on the access if you want to, but we're on the highway. You're in the highway with me. And on this highway, you're still going to be in your lane. You still got to be right there. And I love how you're navigating people, especially being that strong, you having that strong audience of women geared towards your business is so impactful, and I love it. It's a wowzer. One thing that you said stuck out to me that I haven't heard anyone discuss or talk about, I haven't read anywhere about it on the news, or I haven't read anywhere about it on social media, is I like how you said that you are here to help women, other women who want to have their own clinics and have healthcare. Am I correct?
Yeah, anything related to healthcare. My particular passion, of course, is mental health. So I would say that's like my stronger point. But in terms of like setting up a business, I had to set my own business up. And the truth of the matter is, we were talking offline, is that I can see the blessing in my particular process, and that I had the opportunity to kind of learn as I wanted to, because I, you know, if I want to have a practice, then I have to figure things out. So there were things that, you know, it's just not common knowledge. I was not taught in grad school how to set up a business. These are things that I had to learn on the outside. And so because I've gone through that process, I've messed up, you know, some things, and then I've had to go back and correct it. Now I definitely have a process and a frame of mind in being able to help other women that are wanting to do the same thing and be able to provide them with information, not to make it so difficult for them. And I think sometimes where we get stuck is that, particularly when it comes to mentorship or sharing information with people, is there can be a concern sometimes about competition, about, you know, well, I had to learn this, so why can't they go out and learn it? And I mean, there's some truth into that in that too. But I'm sure I've asked people questions before and they're like, well, dang, all she gotta do is Google it. You know what I mean? I'm sure that's been the case too. And I think sometimes we have to remove ourselves from that mentality and understand that there's room for everybody and there's enough money for everybody.
Come on now.
Particularly now with COVID, I think there's some new opportunities that are coming up. You have large companies that are going bankrupt and they're shutting down. And I mean, goodness knows, I don't want to see anybody without a job or whatever, but perhaps it's some of those people that are employees in those companies that are looking at what's going on and saying, you know, I can do this. Maybe I can, you know, find out a way to come up with a small business to meet some of the needs of the shoppers or the consumers that I've served, you know, and working with some of the bigger companies. So I think there's opportunity for that. So the mentorship and the help comes from a place of not just wanting to, you know, help people just start up businesses, whatever, but to help people like really work toward living closer to what they value. You know what I mean? And for me and my business, it didn't come out of a place of me just wanting to have my own business and make money. I wanted to be more available to my family. And in order for me to do that, and looking at my life and my work history, that was not going to happen if I worked for somebody else, not doing the kind of work that I wanted to do. I would have to travel. So in order for me to do that, I needed to have my own. That was my driving force. That's more connected to my value than money. Money is the bonus, right? The flexibility is what I needed. I needed flexibility in order to be able to be available to my family. And so here we are now. If perhaps I did not have my own thing, I wouldn't have been able to transition my business to telemental health, be able to work from home, e-learn, and all this other stuff that's came with that. I don't know that I would have had this same opportunity had I been working for somebody else and still be able to put money into the home and contribute in the way that I want to contribute.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, when it comes to, right now, I feel like it's a perfect time to start that home business. Perfect time. Now it's like we're facing it now. So many years, people were telling us, hey, I need to start some home businesses. Let your kids work for you. Keep it in the house. Start something going. Get something going up, okay? Now, for those women who did not adhere to that, and if someone has lost their job or they're not getting as many hours on their job, what would be your advice to those women who have those families, or maybe that woman who still sits at home, and her husband works, and maybe his hours is cut short, and she's sitting around, she's like, okay, what do we do? What advice would you give to those who are facing this challenge?
Okay, absolutely. One, I would say it's not too late. That's one thing. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that will say that, well, you should opt on this whenever. But I think if you are in a point where you are mentally prepared to step out, and there's a couple of steps. If you're not mentally prepared, step out, take care of that first. That would be my second piece of advice. Make sure like you are good so that you can deal with some of the stresses that even come along with entrepreneurship, because there are some, right? But I would say my third piece of advice would be to use this time to really start an investigation in your life. What are things that you are passionate about? Write things down. What are things that you are like so good at that you could do it with your eyes closed? For some people, these are just examples, like crafty person and you're making, bows or, I see people doing embellishments on clothes and different things like that. Like folks are still shopping. Folks are still buying stuff. To do the embroidery, making t-shirts, I'm looking for somebody right now to print my doggone t-shirts up. You know what I mean? So there are people that are still needing services like that. So if you have any creative bone in your body, that's an opportunity. If you write, you know what I mean? And you're just sitting around the house just thinking, I'll just be writing for fun. It ain't no big deal. There are places, magazines, online, that pay you to actually submit your work, whether it's poetry, storytelling, different things like that. There's opportunities for that. You can create a webinar on how to do something that just comes so quick to you, but may be difficult for somebody else. I'll use an example. Like there's Tabitha Brown, if anybody knows her out there, she's like the vegan lady, right? So that came out of a place of necessity because she was having some health issues about 2 or 3 years ago. So she changed her eating habits and really started implementing more fruits and vegetables. And now she's a vegan. She's real popular on TikTok. And she just does like these little real quick videos on how to make vegan bean burgers and vegetable stir fries and just different things like that. The woman is like a big household name right now because it came out of a place, again, something that was of value to her, which was her health. She wanted to be well so that she could show up good for her family. So she has been able to take that, something so simple, using free resources. TikTok, I don't think you have to pay for TikTok. I don't use it, but I don't think you have to pay for TikTok. But that and Facebook making these videos or whatever, and now she's a household name. And people are reaching out to her to advertise different things. You know what I mean? She's making income off of something that was just passionate for her. And so
love it.
To, you know, think things that you are passionate about, a hobby. How can you flip that hobby and, you know, start doing doing things that can bring in some income? I know there's a lady here locally in South Carolina that was doing event plan. She's like a party decorator, real lavish, like cute stuff. Well, you can't have, you know, these parties right now. That's not really happening right now. So now she's doing these wreaths. She's doing like door wreaths for people. So she's still being able to tap into that creative side, but she's just doing it in a different way. And now she's developed another arm to her business, because that's not going to stop once the world really opened back up and people are starting to plan parties and stuff again. So now she's been able to create another arm of her business now because of this downtime or the stillness that she has. But you have to figure out, what are you passionate about? What are you doing already that you could be doing for other people? Because there are needs out there. There are women and men that have had to go back to work now, or working from home, and they got, you know, children, and they don't have time to fix the healthy meals. Now, if you cook, how can you package that to be able to provide that as a service for somebody in their home? Restaurants are doing it. They had to pivot in that way. They had to figure it out. So they, you know, many of them that didn't deliver, they're delivering now. They're, you know, they have like redirected their business to, so that they can continue. And so we can do the same things in our homes. Absolutely. We can do the same things in our homes. So I would say, look at, see what you're passionate about, what you value, what are you already doing for your family or within your home that you can kind of create that as a little side business.
Awesome. I love it. Because I always heard people say passion makes profit. This is the great opportunity to really see it come to pass in your life. Okay. Passion mm-hmm. makes profit. Okay, well now we know what it means when it was said that passion makes profit. It's coming to pass. It's here now. It's time mm-hmm. for make us our profit. And when you talk about the pivoting, mm-hmm. comes to my mind as a as you talk about pivoting, what are some ways when it comes to being in the home and quarantining and social distancing and just hearing all the news and stuff like that? Everything's opening back up. Some people, they're still like, I don't know about this. Not really done. And, you know, it's, if there's like families that have mixed emotions about it, what is your way that people can calm down their anxiety right now?
Okay.
How can they cope? What can help them cope with the anxiety right now?
Absolutely. The number one thing I would say is that there has to be an acknowledgement of the emotion. I have observed myself, and I've dealt with some of this myself. Just going to the grocery store yesterday, I was sharing with my husband that, like, I sat in the car for a minute and I was like, should I put my mask on? Shouldn't I put my mask on? Because I'm looking at people walking, you know, and I don't see my mask. And then I thought back, I was like, Tamara, you have this mask for a reason. Like, you already made the decision that this is what you're going to do. So, and it wasn't a decision that I made. I was like, well, this is what somebody told me I should do. I watch the news, I read, and so basically what I'm saying is there's going to be a lot of information out there about what you should and shouldn't do. You need to come up with a plan that works for you and your family, and be okay with sticking with that plan. And know that there are going to be times that, you know, perhaps you may second guess it, or, you know, you may feel some kind of way, some anxiety, some sadness, some depression, whatever about it, but all of that is okay for you to experience. One, we have to understand that even though this is not really being called this, here we are within a matter of several months having to, what we consider kind of a normal lifestyle, our routine, and we've had to adjust to something different, whether it's new normal or whatever, but we've had to adjust to a different way of living our lives. And so there's some grief that we may experience with that because it's a loss. You know, over the past couple of months, there's been 3 birthdays in my household, Mother's Day. None of these things have been celebrated in the way that they would have had the world been open. You know what I mean? And so I think those are things that we have to come to understand that, and it's very natural to experience that. Listening to what everybody else got to say outside of your home will make you feel like you're really doing something wrong. And that's not fair. It's not fair to you to put a person in a place where they're continuously like second guessing what is a reality for them. And to say, yes, I'm experiencing some anxiety right now. Yes, I'm experiencing some depression right now. It's normal. That is normal to experience all of this stuff. So I think that's one thing for sure. And then the second thing I would say is to control the controllables. There's a lot of stuff, again, that's being said and done outside of our homes. Some of it may be inside of our homes that we just do not have control over. And you will literally drive yourself insane trying to control everything. Like, what are the things that I can control? What are the things that I can't control? And like, I'll just share a super quick exercise for that. It's to like, get your hand on a piece of paper and outline your hand, right, on the piece of paper, like we have used to do the little turkeys in kindergarten and first grade, right? That's how you learn how to make a turkey. So put your hand on a piece of paper, outline your hand. On the inside of your hand, on the paper, write down the things that you have control over, meaning that I can show up and I can make a difference for the things inside my hand. On the outside of it, write down all the things that you don't have control over and let that be your guide. Let your hand, whatever falls inside of your hand.
Powerful.
Right. The things outside, there is nothing that I can do to go outside and be like, you know what? I wanted to stop raining today. Dang, the thing I can do, I don't control the weather. I can't do not one thing about that. You know what I'm saying? Or I wish my neighbor would quit letting their child come outside, you know what I'm saying, with out of mask and being all up in front of everybody's face. I cannot control that. I can't do anything about that. So it tends to be the things that we don't have any control over that like just sends us completely over the edge because we're so concerned about those things that then we lose control over the things that are inside our hand because that's not where the focus is at. So we have to make our controllable smaller. You know what I'm saying? We have to make it smaller because otherwise this here is just going to be going. And there's nothing that we can do about it. Nothing that we can do about it. It doesn't mean that we can't develop a plan for how we can tackle some of those things. But make sure the inside is good first. So that's just like a really quick tip so that you can see. Some people are more visual so that you can see my controllables. The things on the outside, I can't do anything about that. It would be nice if these things were different.
Yes.
Absolutely. But it'd also be nice if I can feel a sense of ownership, investment, and control of what's inside the hand. You know, and that's just kind of like a day one. Start there and work on the things inside your hand. So those would be the two things is one, to allow yourself to be in a space of acceptance of what you are experiencing, the good and bad, ugly and different, because there's a lot of that going on right now, just a lot of uncertainties right now. So that can naturally just create some anxiety for people. The grief of it all, just you know, I lost a job. Things aren't the same. Things may never be the same. Like, allow yourself to experience those things, because it, those emotions will pass. They will pass. And if not, just naturally, there's resources to help people deal with and kind of reframe how we're thinking about some things, because some people do have like this mindset of just pessimism. Everything is bad. Everything has seemed like it's been bad for a very long time. That's a reality for some people. So I'm not trying to discount that in any way, but I also say there are resources to help people tackle some of those issues as well. And even through our list, if you can only identify one or two things that you have control over, that's better than none.
Wow. Powerful. I love that. It's powerful because you're giving people a solution. How can I get this right? You gave people an example within itself, but you also gave somebody hope. And you gave them, you activated, you allowed it to be in a way that said, basically, here's a power tip for you to solve everything within yourself in this moment. And sometimes I feel like we pay attention so much about the past and look farther into the future, which people don't understand. You have to focus on the moment.
Mm-hmm.
In yourself for the moment to project future that will be, you know, fabulous and everything, and stay positive. And I like how you didn't discredit people. You didn't shame or shun people who live and everything is bad, because why would I do that to you? You know, if you want to see everything is bad, if you desire to see everything is bad, then okay. You know, I love that so much. And so, as we were talking about Plan B, sometimes in the business world, you know, that pivoting is popular, you know, to say pivot this, pivot that, but it also means to have a Plan B. So how can someone pivot effectively?
There is so much I can say right here, but my big thing right now is, before you pivot, you have to pause. And I think that is the piece that is so frustrating. That's
mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, because it's frustrating. So I get it. Like I get it. I want stuff. I want it now, but at the same time, I also recognize for my emotional and mental well-being and even my physical well-being, because it's all connected, really, just all the parts, that if I don't pause before I need to pivot, and it's not just for what's currently going on, this is for any time. I think when you don't pause, you tend to lose sight, and I think even diminish what you can be grateful for in the moment. That's really hard. I see that being the piece that's coming up more so for people now, and just dealing with the transitions in their lives, is like, what do I have to be grateful for? Because dang, I lost a job, or, you know, I was laid off for a couple of weeks, or, you know, whatever, I have to do this e-learning and I'm stressed out and all this stuff. But I think the stillness of the moment, if you really take advantage of it, can really provide an opportunity and a space for you to be more insightful and introspective about what's going on within you. We can have some bad things happen to us in a day, and that's our entire day. We can have bad things happen to us in our lifetime, and that will color our entire life. We, like you were talking about the mindfulness, we will forget about what's going on right now. If I'm so focused on what happened or what's going to happen, I'm missing all the greatness that's going on right now. Like if I have nothing else to say, I'm alive.
Yes.
surplus. You know what I mean? For something bad to happen, I got to be here. And so, but that still speaks to opportunity. So I think if you can recognize what you're grateful for in the moment, and that means you may have to search it out, you know, really search that thing out. What can you be grateful for in the moment? I think that's important. So I think there needs to be a moment of pause first, whether or not it's forced upon you or you reframe what's forced upon you and say, okay, if this is what I got to deal with, let me figure out how this is going to work. You start working on that plan A and start implementing that plan A. Part of the work is also establishing, well, if this does not go planned, I think there needs to be a time for reassessment, particularly during this time, because again, we're talking about the uncertainty, is that may be a weekly time of reassessment. It may be a couple of weeks. It may be a month. I would say for right now, the time for reassessment does need to be a little bit shorter because things are changing so much for us right now. In my business, I decided that I went from seeing clients every day, Monday through Friday, right, and some on Saturday. I had to change that because I took a 2-week pause. I had to change that to I'm only seeing clients on Tuesday and Thursday, but I have longer hours. So that's a 9 o'clock in the morning until 10 o'clock at night because I'm looking at my client base and trying to make sure I'm providing opportunities for them to be seen. Okay.
Wise.
I got children that are e-learning. So I need to have time for that. I also need to have time to make sure I'm showing up for myself. And then on that Sunday, like I take it so seriously, I'm not doing any work on Sunday. That is my time for rest. And I really look at my Friday and Saturday as my time of, I'm just looking back at my week. What went well? What did not go well? What do I need to change up or tweak for next week so I can start off better? You know what I'm saying? Set myself up for success and not feeling like I'm just like tripping through the week. You know what I mean? Like I'm actually making progress and feeling good about the things that I'm doing. So I've decided that my reassessment has to be weekly because there's so many things that are going on in this field. I need to reassess that more frequently. Now, when I get back into the office and I'm doing face-to-face, I'll probably go back to the plan that I had before, which was not as frequently.
Yeah.
More, you know what I mean? And honestly, I'll have more time really to kind of just naturally do it on a day-to-day basis anyway. Well, that didn't go well. I won't do that again. You know what I mean? Right now, I don't have an opportunity to do that. You know what I mean? Because seriously, like the way my schedule is set up, when I'm done seeing clients, I'm done. I don't want to do it. I don't want to reassess. I don't want to. I want to get to the next day so I can rest, get my mind back right so I can hop into the next day. And I got clothes to fold. And I got, you know what I'm saying? So I don't have time for that because we're in the house and my kids don't care nothing about what work I'm doing upstairs.
Uh-oh.
They want me. They looking at mama. They're not looking at the social worker.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make time for all of those things. And so I think your plan B needs to be reassessed more often during this time, particularly when you're talking about entrepreneurship, because there's so much stuff out there. And I think that another point to this would be there's so many resources out here right now that are free. It's ridiculous. There are universities, Cornell,
Cornell got the.
That are just offering free classes, opportunities. If like, even if you just like, I just want to learn something new just for the heck of it. There's opportunities.
Udemy, girl, I went on Udemy. And I took some courses that were discounted, $2,200 courses discounted at $15 by accredited institutions. And not only that, but big companies like Microsoft, just all kind of companies there, you know, utilize this company.
All of that. Take advantage of it. This is a great time to take advantage of it. And that may be all that your plan B consists of. You know, I hear people say all the time, well, if I had time, I would do this. And now that we got time, it still ain't getting done. Because the time wasn't the problem. It was your motivation.
It was your motivation.
Exactly. Make time for the things that are important to us.
That is true.
It wasn't all that important for you to paint. You was just saying it.
Okay. Yes. Come on.
Now, yes. You know what I'm saying? That time is here. So take advantage of the things that are out here that are free. That in itself may help to pivot. And the pivot is not just about business. The pivot is about you and how you show up in the world. That's really what the pivot is about. So we're talking about business because that's what we do, but it really is about you and how you show up. When all of this is said and done, absolutely, I want to be a better social worker. I want to be a better entrepreneur. I want to be better in parenting. So many things that I wrote on my list that I want to have a different outlook about it. Because I don't.
Yes, you're definitely a flourishing woman.
Yeah, that we're in this space. So I'm like, I'm going to take advantage of it. Because when I get back into the office and I start face to face again, I probably won't have the time then. Because we're going to be dealing with another set of issues.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a great time for you to decide, I'm going to pause, I'm going to begin to plan, and I'm going to really focus on educating myself about some different areas that can not only enhance me as a person, but help with my business acumen and just other areas of your life that you may be interested in enhancing.
Amen. And one thing, and I'm just sitting over here thinking about, you're talking about pivoting and redoing assessments to the business. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about, like, look at the things that we use today, that products and companies we buy from, they had pivoting. Even Facebook had pivoting. Because yes. I remember, like, way back in the day, like, when I was in high school, you had to be invited by somebody else mm-hmm. to get a... I think it was like 2006. You look up before you 2010, 2009. You see that it started. All you had to do was start an account, and now it's all over the place. Everybody can set up the Facebook account. Everybody can get on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, it was things like that. Even with Sonic, like, they didn't start out selling what they sell today. They started out selling something else. Right. I can't remember what it was, but I think it was just a comb. Was it just a comb dog? It was some they were selling. Yeah. But it was, you know, a different angle or whatever. Even with I think that with Instagram, I don't think Instagram even started out as it was. It was like it had games on it. Even Flickr had games on it, even with the gum that we chew, the Wrangler gum, they didn't sell out. Now selling gum, you know, and so it's like, just to give people examples of the big time people, that just to be give them encouragement rather, that if the big companies that we purchase from, they had pivots, you know what I'm saying? They had to change some stuff. They had some transitions or things like that. And the thing about it is when it's all said and done, that it don't have to look perfect.
No.
It is not going to look perfect.
Honestly, I think if you are really about your business, I don't know that let me say this for me. I'm just going to say it for me because I don't out there in the world to be like, no girl, that ain't right. But for me, that's not even a word that I would use to describe like my business or protocol or anything, because I think the moment that I adopt that may be the moment that I stop growing. You know what I mean? That my goal is I'm striving toward perfection, but even once I get to what may seem or feel like is a really good process, things have already changed by the time I got there. You know what I mean? Like, by the time I got at destination, stuff has already changed. There's a new something out. Like when I first started out in private practice, there was starting to be like this really big push in terms of substance abuse treatment. Now, substance abuse treatment has always been around, for sure. But it there was a change in terms of the psychiatrist and being able to prescribe a particular medication and stuff. And that like that has become like a super, super big thing. And that was right at the start of me going into my practice. Well, now, you know what I'm saying? There's been a whole new license or credential that has been developed because of this trend with substance abuse. You know what I mean? So it's like things are changing in a matter of a couple of years. It's not taking that long for us to continue to grow. So I think when we get to a place where we're just like, oh, I got it. This is it. Like, I think that's a bit of a dangerous place to be in, because there's somebody on your tail end that, you know what I mean? Like, that should be not that it's competition, but that maybe you are the person that's on your tail end, that there's something else that you could be doing to expand, to change, to make the services that you provide more accessible to people, so that you can continue to increase your client base. I think that's really the point there, is just, you know, have the mindset of growth versus the mindset of, oh, I got a handle on this. Like, this is perfect. Nobody is going to do this, because it's going to be something else coming right around.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning if you are complacent or just not prepared mentally for that, you're going to miss out on those opportunities.
Yes. And your business is a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is if you're going to be fun and love your business and have your passion with your business, people are going to see it. If you're going to be you know, open to change and da-da-da-da, that's the people you're going to attract to your business, people who are open to trying, because people think that oh, you just got to deal with difficult people. You know, you don't have to. It's all your mindset. I was thinking to myself at one point, I had to be on social media to get business. The only way I'm going to get business, I'm 31 years old now, but mm-hmm. I think it was 28 years old. I feel like, oh, only this is the only place I'm going to get business, you know? And I was selling myself short because I was on the hype of what people, I was looking at other people brands, and I would think about them, and then I had to sit down and check my personality. It's not even my personality. I'm trying to make some money off something that ain't even my personality. Mm-hmm. And so
now you show up genuinely, you know. Yeah. That's what you want to track. You're right. You absolutely right.
And the thing about it is, what my personality is just walking. It's just walking the bridge or walk going on. You know, I like to walk and things like that. It's to have my business cards. I mean, I love when before we got, you know, all this happened, everything's opening back up. But, you know, in our world before BC, before Corona,
you know,
comfortable, you know, traveling and meeting people and giving my cards out, you know, at the restaurants and things like that. People that you see day to day, that's worked best for me. You know, it's for me, face to face, and things like that. So I say that to say, what do you tell about these the people who are women who you are empowering, people you're helping start businesses, pivoting, all of this change and transition? What do you have to say about comparing themselves to other businesses, or trying to say, are they looking to follow other people business models? What advice do you give to them? What do you say to those who are comparing their business to other businesses, or just looking now like, okay, I want mine's like this, da da da. What is your advice about that?
I would say, one, if you're comparing, you already failed.
Thank you.
If you're comparing, you already failed, because there's only one you, and it's not the competition is not anybody else. You are the competition. And really trying to invoke like internal motivation. So I would say this is perhaps like the biggest key to it, is what is your motivation? What is your motivation, and what is going to keep you going during those times where it seems like your dream may not come to fruition, or the next level is so far away that it seems, it feels impossible for you to reach it? What is going to keep you going? And that is what you have to tap into. So I like to work with women in developing a mission and a vision, not just for their business, right? We have missions and visions for our business, but what is your vision for your life? Because that is what is going to keep you going. So
I'm going to answer.
I've always wanted to be financially independent, but that's defined by somebody else. That's defined by me and my husband now, and what that looks like, what that's going to afford us for our family. So my financial independence may not look like my next door neighbor. It's probably not going to look like yours. You know what I mean? It's going to be different. So the things that we do, the things that I do to contribute to our family mission and vision, that's what drives me, period. That's what drives me. The bonus is I make good money. The bonus is I get to help people. I get to see not just entrepreneurs, but I get to see my clients. I get to see that light bulb go off and they're like, oh, I get it. That's the bonus. And yes, that does my heart and my soul well. But my motivation has nothing to do with either one of those things. You know what I mean? It's more internal for me. And so I'm not comparing myself to anybody else, because there's only one Tamara Houston.
Come on! I love you.
So I don't need to. And like I was saying offline, like I can, you know, collaborate. I can assist another female entrepreneur that's doing the same thing that, I mean, that's my client base. My client base, they do the same thing I do. I don't view that as competition. I view that as a win. I'm winning, and there's a lot of people in this world that are going to win, because it's all about us having solid businesses that are going to last through times like this, right? Where we can continue to show up and be able to provide optimal level of care for people in this world. That's just how passionate I am about mental health. So how you actually provide the service, how you deliver the service, that's embodied in who you are. I can't give nobody that, but I can assist in helping to set up a solid business, right? So that you can show up as your best self and not have to worry about these little things, because you'll know that you set them up correctly and you can go in this world and you can show out. You know what I mean? That's what I'm here for, is to assist in being able to impart that kind of knowledge. So it's not a competition. It's a win.
Yes.
It's a win for both of us. It's a win for all of us. Can't just go out and help one person with mental health. It's a win. That's just how I see that.
Girl, I'm ready to shout like I'm in the church house or something. Like I'm in an African tribe. Everybody, okay? But like, I'm just like amazed, because what you're saying is so awesome. Like, because we have the same drive and ambition, because I'm willing to help anyone. Like, I don't care who you are, I'll help you. Like, and it goes beyond giving you the shirt off my back, because when you're helping someone in business, that's beyond giving them the shirt off your back. And a lot of times there are so many women out here who are not going to help you, and they are going to charge you for every single thing. And the thing about it is that one thing that I realized is that every emerging female has some type of secret ingredient to their success. Yeah. And development in leadership. Mm-hmm. We have to let other women know, you have to get your traits. You have to define your traits. There's no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And not worth it, because you want the fame and you want the fortunes and you don't realize that all of that comes with time. But when you make it to your top, what you gonna brag about? Mm-hmm. Brag about it. How you gonna help somebody at your top when it comes? Because you gonna have to give the trace. You don't have to give your secret ingredients, but you gonna have to give some trace now. Where was the life now? Where's the humility? You know, where's the passion? What's the storyline for? You know what I'm saying? Like, where is it? How did you take a risk?
You're right.
What was you faced with resilience?
Right.
What was the time when you struggled with comparing yourself to others? What mentors did you connect with? Who was your mentors? How was you in service to others? These are things that, you know, that emerging female leaders, qualities of emerging female traits that make up emerging female leaders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it brings me to this right here, the final question. We talked about pivoting. We talked about what you do. We talked about what anxiety looks like during this time. We talked about a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And, okay, I have to ask this woman of wisdom. What does it look like for that female who is basically a woman, the transition, the change, you know, it's a pivoting factor as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like for that woman who's been doing mental, you know, she's been working in healthcare, mm-hmm. working in the healthcare field, and you know, she wants to start a clinic, she wants to do all of these things. Do you really need to have your license to start your own clinic and hire other professionals? What does that look like? Someone who has a story, but they don't have, like, let's see, they've been that person who's dealt with maybe abuse and maybe has a heart for abused children or have a heart for abused women, and they want to open up a clinic. Is that a yes or no for those individuals? Is the fact that they don't have maybe a license or went to school to get a degree, would they be able to still get those, build that business? Does business have anything to do with them having credentials as far as this field? They're going to hire other people. You know, they're going to hire people. Yeah. What does that look like?
So, I guess I have two answers for that. Would you ask that same question of, like, the millionaires and billionaires out here that own companies that they've never worked on an assembly line, but they own automotive companies? Would you ask that same question? Or the people that own the McDonald's franchise, but they've never worked in McDonald's, they don't know what it's like to flip a burger. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying yes or no to that. I think that's going to be defined by the person and what your business acumen is, what your passion is. So I guess the short of it is, do you have to have a license? No, you don't have to have a license, but you do have to have a license to practice. And every state is going to be different, okay? So I can't comment on any state but the states that I'm licensed in. So I would say, depending on the state you're in, yeah, you want to check with the state and see, you know, what the licensing board say about you practicing a particular professional counseling, therapy, social work, or whatever. So that's it. The other thing I would say is, I think in anything you do, I come from the training that you practice inside of your scope of practice. So I would never go out and talk to anybody about what physicians talk about in terms of surgery. Why? Because I'm not trained as a surgeon. That's not my area of expertise. I can talk about mental health things, and I am limited in those things as well, because I have things that I'm trained in and I have things that I'm passionate about. So I have gone above and beyond what my licensure requires to learn more about specific topics in regards to the things that I will work with clients in. So for instance, for me, I'm not a substance abuse counselor, not my area. I can refer you to somebody, but it ain't my area. So if that's something that you need and you're saying, well, I want to see you, I'm going to let you know at the gate. That's not my area. And my professional discernment would be to refer you to someone that has training in that particular area, because I'm all about healing. You're not going to get the healing that you need from me and on that particular topic because I'm not trained to deliver that service. So there are there is a possibility that you do not have to have a license to practice a therapy or, you know, like I said, to be a social worker or to be a counselor or a marriage or family therapist. I left that out. In any form or fashion, that's not necessary in order to have the business. But I would say, as a business owner, learn about what it is that you are delivering as a service for sure. You would not be the clinician, but I would hope that one would have either some professional training or some practical experience as a helping, you know, professional or lay person in order to be able to do that.
Right.
I lump a lot of people into helping professionals. And the reason for that is I've never had a client to reach out to me and ask me what my credential was. I've never had anybody ask me where I went to school. Now, I'm not saying that those aren't good questions to ask. I've just never had anybody ask me that. You may talk to another clinician and they may, you know, have people asking that all the time. I don't know. But I never have. And so I think when people need help, they need help.
That's right.
People need to use more discernment in figuring out what kind of help they need. And people need to be encouraged to ask questions about the kind of help they need. So it may make a difference to somebody if there are family issues or marital issues that you may in particular want to see someone that has a licensure in marriage and family therapy, because their training is going to be a little bit different from mine. However, I have a training in a particular marital counseling, you know, certification, but I'm not a marriage and family therapist. But that may make a difference, you see what I'm saying, to a client. So those may be questions or a distinction that a client may want to make. Is anybody going to be concerned about who owns the business? I don't know if they would be or not. You could be a coach. You know, yes. You could have practical experience in a situation and decide that coaching is the route for you to take. But even with coaching, I would still say practice within side of your scope of expertise. Like, anybody can say they're a coach.
Yes.
It makes a difference if I know that you've gone through some type of program.
Some type of training.
Solidifies you as a coach. Like, that would make a difference to me. Somebody else, it may not make a difference. So I think there's not a real catch-all answer to that. I think basically is, as a business owner, you can own any kind of business without actually having experience in that.
That's right. Money.
It depends on the people that you employ or the people that you contract with. At this stage in my life and the work experience that I have, it would make a difference to me. It would to me. Not necessarily that the owner was a licensed clinician per se, but I would want to know more about that person's background. Like, you own it. You're not a clinician, but what made you want to get into this in the first place? That would be important to me, because I would feel like whatever the mission and vision is for your business, that came from somewhere. And as an extension of your business, I want to be able to buy into that. And I want to be able to promote that as well. And if I don't have that information, that would, I don't know that I would have the same investment as you. And you want to work with people that have the same investment as you. For me. But in terms of the actual practice of working as a clinician, that's going to be dependent upon the state licensure and, you know, certification requirements and stuff.
Amen. Thank you. Awesome. And I like how you broke it down, because a lot of people feel like, oh, okay, I got to go to school for that. Don't I to have a business like that? I got to go to school to have another profit, you know, in memory of my mom. I got to go to school, you know, people actually in 2020 are struggling with this. Like, I gotta just to do that. Because a lot of times one will sit back and they will think everything they need is education. Now, I'm educated myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that I favor self-education. I favor entrepreneurship. I favor business more than I favor academics. And, and I have, you know, credentials and have certifications and degrees. But when it's all said and done, the way a person shifts, I believe that whatever you go into business in, there has to be a reason why. And
absolutely. I
would hope so. If you don't, then what is it? Like, yeah. And it would be ignorant to do that. And for to say, and the fact that there are nurses out here, you know, they want to start their own, when people say, yeah, you start your own clinic or you could start your own this, they, you know, sometimes they could be looking like, okay, oh, wow, I didn't know I could do that. You know, it's like, you can do that.
Yeah, that's where that self-education part comes in, because you're talking about two different things. Like, I am an academically trained clinician, but in terms of, like, the therapeutic approaches and stuff that I use, I got all that experience after I got my degree.
Yes, your self-education.
It wasn't like I got the paper and then I stopped learning. Like, you have to continue to learn. Not having that particular knowledge about how to operate a business, that can be a deterrent for many people. They do, you know, may feel like they have to have a certain level of education or, you know, business background or whatever, but there are services out here. One of the things that really stuck with me, and I'll just share this real briefly, is that when I started my practice, I actually did not have a business plan. I didn't start with a business plan. I guess for whatever reason, I didn't think it was necessary. I don't know, but I just went straight forward. I just went in. And it wasn't until maybe about a year, year and a half ago, that I reached out to SBA, so that's the Small Business Association, because I was looking in getting a particular certification. And the gentleman that I worked with, I still work with him to this day, but when I worked with him, I remember sitting there across the desk from him, and I said, man, like, this makes me feel like I need to go back to school and get an MBA. And he said, well, what do you need to do that for when you have us? Like, we're free. You know what I mean? And that really struck me, because I think that's just carrying on that mentality that we're talking about now, was that I felt in that moment, I felt like I wasn't qualified in terms of the business side, because some of what he was talking about, I didn't understand. It was over my head. And I mean, he took his time. He explained everything to me, and I was able to get the things that I needed. And in fact, it was almost kind of like, because the way I did things the way I did, he was like, well, when you do your business plan, it's going to be so simple, because you already have your business in place. Like, the numbers that you need, the projection, like, it would be based off of information that you already have. So it actually made it a lot easier for me. So My point is that there are resources out here that are free that, like, if you really want to learn about, like, how to, you know, start a business and, like, from the ground up, the things that you need, they're free resources or resources that are really low cost that you can get through SBA.gov. That's a website. You can just get on there and, you know, it's a lot of that stuff. But you can also sign up for, like, your local chapter and get emails and stuff about different courses, classes, and stuff that they have going on and learn a lot of information that way. Honestly, that is how I got a lot of information that I got, because for me, now I see it as an investment for another business that I have. Me being able to share that kind of information with my clients and saying, hey, well, check out SBA. They have this, and I can explain to them what that means and what that looked like and what it may be able to offer to their business. I don't have to be the one to offer that service to them.
That's right.
Area of expertise. But part of what they are coming to me for and contracting my services for is because I have information that I can share with them about how to accomplish something that they're trying to get done and establishing or expanding their business. And so I think those things are important. Did I pay for it? Some of it I did, some of it I didn't, but not a whole lot. I learned, I got the information for free, but it was still an investment of my time. And I think that's sometimes where we lack is, you know, that's going to take a lot of time. It's going to, you know, and you have to rearrange some things. But again, if we go back to what we talked about earlier, is this, like, what are you passionate about? What could you do with your eyes closed? What could you see yourself doing forever? You know what I mean? Like, if you never retire, what could you see yourself just continuing to do? And then what is your motivation and what is going to keep you going? Those things are what's going to make it so that you will make the time to do what you need to do to pivot in a way that's effective. And again, we're talking about anything, business or whatever. You're going to make the time to do those things. For sure.
So correct. And that brings us right now. We're about to head on now. So before we head on, Ms. Houston, how can they get in contact with you to allow you to help them?
Okay, so for the Renewal Life Counseling, I can be found on a couple of different social media outlets. So I'm on Facebook, that is at Renewal Life Counseling. On Instagram, it's Renewal_Life RLC. And I feel like I'm saying that wrong because I have two of them that are kind of like almost the same. So let me check that. Yeah. It's on Instagram, it's Renewal_Life_RLC. And on Twitter, it is Renewal_Life LLC. So very, very similar, but you can also just type in Renewal Life Counseling. The website is the namesake, renewallifecounseling.com. Houston Consulting, again, that is a business that is primarily for women-owned practices, whether or not you're in startup phase or an expansion phase. I have a lot of different resources for that. My website is not live, but it will be going live soon. I was adding some other services to that, but you can find me on Facebook at Houston Consulting One, the number one, and also on Instagram at Houston Consulting One. I can also be found on LinkedIn, and that's my name, Tamara Houston. And if you're looking for a provider, I can be found on Psychology Today as well, so you can find a lot of information about me or my practice on there, as well as the other providers that work for me. Like I said, we all have different specialties, so I may not be the best fit for you. And even if you have a question, you can always go on the website, send me an email, and I'll be happy to answer any questions that you have about finding a provider. My big thing is, if you're struggling mentally, emotionally with anything, or if there's just some, you know, things that are going on that you need to talk through with someone, do not sit and suffer in silence. There's a lot of resources out there. So call somebody. I don't mind you calling me. or reaching out to me via email or checking out the website to see what services we offer or how we may be able to connect you with somebody that can help you in your area of the world or the state. Be happy to.
Yes. Okay. You see, today the guest, Miss Houston, she is very passionate about what she does. She has a very superior services to offer, and she's here to help. She's here to help. She's here to. She's a defining woman of what it truly means for women empowerment, mental health, businesses, all of that, entrepreneurship, all of that. And so that's how you guys can hit her up. And she even gave you a tip. SBA. You know, she gave you a tip. You don't have to have per se credentials to start a business, but just make sure that you're doing something out of passion and you know what you're doing. Even if you plan on hiring someone, you know, make sure they know what you're doing and still make sure you have that vision and mission statement as women for yourself. And don't be afraid of pivoting. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid to start up anything. Remember the five, when you're dealing with anxiety, just remember the five, the palm activity that she shared today. And that's Niche. I appreciate her coming out. Appreciate you coming out today.
You
have been a blessing in disguise. I love it. I love you. You're awesome. And this is Shay with the Big Orange Questions. I've asked all my questions that I had today to stimulate our minds. And I am signing out. Goodbye.